Welcome to episode 117 of The Kraken Pod, a podcast for Seattle Kraken fans, those new and old to hockey, and hockey fans looking to have some fun. Along with you, we try to go into what lies beneath when it comes to everything Seattle Kraken and the NHL. In your Kraken reaction, fallout from the Nicky O interview with Joey. I'm here. I think I still have a job. Could the Kraken get the number one pick in the NHL draft lottery that's happening tonight? The friggin' Firebirds are on fire. NHL news, there's some. Playoff update, and we're really happy. Well, okay, so one of us is really happy about Toronto being out. The Golden Knights were ecstatic as a team. We just love that. And in no dumb questions, what's the difference between a player becoming a free agent versus being placed on waivers? Great question. And three stars of the week, what's been going on in our personal lives? It's been a couple of weeks since we talked to you. Well, at least me. So let's get to it. Welcome to episode 117 of The Kraken Pod. Let's go. What is up? My name is Jeff Januzik. Do not forget this. I am part of The Kraken Pod. I am here for good. Don't even try to get me fired. Here is
Joey Cirillo.
Joey Cirillo.
Thanks for the reminder. I was like, who's this guy? Who am I talking to?
Who is this dude? Dude, I listened to that Nicky O podcast episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is a good podcast. I really like this. Who are these guys? Like, oh crap. It's my podcast. Mine is me. This is really good. This might be better than with me gone. I don't know, man. You were like you were on fire. You just totally great host. And thanks, of course, we know that Nick Olchek is always awesome.
Yeah, he made it easy on me. Also, I mean, one, good to see you. It's been a little bit. Absolutely. But yeah, no. Nicky O is like a consummate professional. So he made it easy on me because I knew that, you know, if I stumbled or anything like that, that, you know, he would just take things and run with it. And, you know, the best interviews are when you get the other person talking, and he had plenty to say. So I just kept setting him up, and he was knocking it down. I felt like the LeBron and Wade meme, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just constantly me just being like, all right, tell me about this. And he had plenty of thoughts. So it was great, man. I mean, and you know how he is. Like, as always, like, he just gives us way too much time. Yep. I'm like, oh yeah, 30 minutes. And next thing I know, it's been an hour and we're just like hanging out. I'm like, all right, I need to wrap this up. So no, it was really good, man. There's lots of good stuff to talk about. And obviously, you know, with the Dave Haxtell firing and everything, I thought it was really important that we got him on. The timing was just crazy because it was supposed to happen. And then, you know, and then the interview kind of just lined up right with that. So kind of had to just jump on it and take advantage. I wish he could have been there.
I know. Yeah, thanks for handling that. And behind the scenes is Joey, you know, Nick, we, you know, we're he's doing this for free for us, like really nice guy. Right. And so we work around his schedule, obviously, and he could only do it like on a Tuesday night. And it just so happened that my son was in his play at school. That's his last play at school, because after third grade, no more plays. But he was in Willy Wonka, and he was an Oompa Loompa and a few other things. And then my daughters were in it.
I love it. Yeah.
So thank you, Joey. Appreciate you doing that. And again, big props to Nicky O. And he gave a lot of insight. The one I didn't listen to like every single minute. I didn't listen to the last few minutes. The only thing I had to knock you for, Joey, as a degenerate gambler, as you know me, did you ask him about the Kentucky Derby?
I did not, but it was in there. I had like written notes, then mental notes, and there was like, this is shocking, this is not surprising to you whatsoever, there was a good amount of stuff I did not get to touch on. I told myself, there was a good amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know how it is. I mean, because you're way better at that area than I am, which is why in the beginning of the interview, I was a little nervous. I was like, oh man, like this is my first time leading with this shit. But it's a lesson for me to, in those conversations, you have the stuff this, I mean, I'm sharing way too much now. You have the stuff mapped out that you want to talk about. Like, there's obviously like hard hitting stuff, right? Like the Haxel getting fired and the state of the team and all that, and, you know, NHL playoffs, whatever. And, but the, over the course of the conversation, like, you know, it flows into certain areas and you have to be willing to be flexible and really listen to what the person's saying to be able to kind of go off of that. And depending on how that goes, you may or may not be able to talk about everything you you had written down. So yeah, long story short, I did not get to talk about that.
Well, no, that's where credit to you is, like, you're a pro, man, because that's it. The key to interviews is listening to people. When I was, yes, on the radio back in the day, I was too excited or nervous talking to like some celebrities and I didn't listen. Mm-hmm. And I, you know me, I don't listen to you at all. So, you know, yeah. It's true.
It's mutual. I'll surprise. We talk about anything.
Exactly.
To each other, yeah. Exactly. But talking to each other, to ourselves, yeah, with each other on. Yeah.
You did great with that though, because you got to listen. Because if they give you something, you got to kind of drill down on that. And yes, yeah, you might not get to the Kentucky Derby, yeah, picks, right? But
Riker Evans is a perfect example of that. And we talked cool about that with Nick. Like, Riker is an example of, like, you know, and this is not a knock on him, talked about during the Nikkio podcast, like, isn't the easiest guy to talk to. He's a little bit buttoned up, even those, you know, the postseason comments from the Dundertaker.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's got to kind of quiet. We got to figure him out. Like, you and I, over the course of that conversation.
Love Vince Dunn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amazing. But you and I, over the course of that conversation, you know, like, there were certain points, like talking about like his dad in Calgary and stuff like that. Like, you could tell, you know, he would like lighten up or, you know, would share a little bit more information. And those are the moments where you really got to kind of hone in, because that's like, okay, I got something here. Let's go with this.
Yeah. Well, I think Nick Olchik was awesome. Mm-hmm. You did a great job. It really was just a really fun podcast to listen to. I didn't have to cringe hearing my own voice, which was nice. So, but you killed it. Great prep. Great interview.
Thank you, Nikkio, sir.
Officially, thank you. You, everybody, you know, all the sentiments about Dave Haxtell, I haven't talked about it, but pretty much echoed, like,
thankful. Yeah, I was going to say, your quick thoughts on it.
Yeah, thankful for his service. I really am, truly am. I was, mm-hmm, I tweeted about it. I was at peace with him being around for another season.
Was this after your excitement video? I'm just fucking with you.
In the video, if you watch that, it wasn't, I'm excited he's gone. It was, I can't believe they made the move. That's the vibe. But,
which I shared, by the way, I made sure to let Nikkio know that as well. You, yeah, called it. You were like, oh, there's no way it's going to happen. It would have happened by now. So when the news broke, I mean, I texted you. I was like, I think I just said, holy shit, Dave Haxel just got fired. And you're like,
you did, verbatim, yes.
Yeah.
I think that what I'm excited about is, again, Dave, I liked Dave Haxel. You know, I did like his vibe. Yeah. I thought it was cool that the Kraken players came out and like disputed that report that there was, because we haven't talked about that. Is there was the report from ESPN, the reporter who said that he was fired because of players in the locker room, mm-hmm, not happy with Haxtell, and it was a player thing, and they wanted him gone.
Yeah,
and I think Nikkio did say
players or whatever it was.
Yeah, they all refuted it, which is great.
They did refute it. I feel a type of way about that, actually. Everyone's going a certain direction on that. I'm kind of going zag. Like, everyone's going this way.
I think they backed up. They did a little bit of a, eesh.
I think that they're for like it, the way I view it as, and it's so easy. Like, when stuff like that comes out, you're going to defend your team, right? And then ESPN, especially for Seattle Kraken fans, is looked at as like the big bad wolf kind of a scenario. And I totally get it, right? Like, the ESPN has not been nice to the Seattle Kraken. So as a fan of the team, I don't look at ESPN and I'm like, oh yeah, these guys are great to us. Like, yeah, they kind of shit on us a lot. Well, whoever we play, they usually end up, you know, giving like a rub and tug to the other team while ignoring us, whatever. But I, you know, as I'm looking at someone who is a professional reporter, I forget the woman's name that reported this. Like, I have a really hard time believing that a reporter would just completely make up a story like that. And the only way I can see that happening is if whatever her sources were, which we will never find out, if they were either completely full of shit or just completely exaggerated. But I don't think it's a situation where she was completely lying about something to make up a story. I think it was rooted in a little bit of truth. And, you know, Eberle's comments about like, oh, like, this is, you know, not who we are as a team, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he didn't specifically outright refute anything. Father Kanner kind of did later on. But I just found it very, very interesting. I don't know, man. In my opinion, there's a little bit of truth rooted in there. We will never know. And also, like Nikki O and I talked about, this is a very delicate, sensitive, ongoing, you know, situation. And also with this organization, like, they're looking to hire a new coach here. You know what they're not going to do? Like, they're not going to have it to where players or whoever are coming out and are trashing this coach, even if behind the scenes some guys are sharing some sort of displeasure, because that would reflect bad in the organization. That could get around across the league. Then guys who might be interested in coaching might not be interested in coaching. Like, it's a whole thing. So I'm trying to look at it in its totality. We will never know is the way that I view it as, but I didn't see those comments afterwards and go, I knew it, ESPN lying, here we go again. I was like, you know what? There's some weird stuff going on here and we will never know. Now let's just move past it so we can all figure out who the hell our next head coach is going to be.
I think you're right. I agree with you on that. I think so. I think there's probably a little bit, because, you know, in this day and age, it is easy to sniff out, not easy, but like, it's hard to just make stuff up without fallout or somebody tracking you down and saying, oh gosh, you know, like, we found out that she's completely lying or he's completely lying, or,
yeah,
you know, so like, for her to make it up completely, I think you're right. There obviously is a little bit of spin. And I really like that angle on, well, look, we're going to try and hire a new coach. We don't want him coming in here thinking that this is a toxic, you know, these players are, you know, high maintenance or something like that. So that's pretty legit. Well, overall, dude, props to you, Nikki O. Awesome interview. Good job. Good thing my paycheck is zero because I'm sticking around. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Same. Awesome. Same.
All right. We got a few things to talk about with the Seattle Kraken. So let's get to it. Here is your Kraken reaction. All right. Let's start with the Seattle Kraken.
Okay.
The NHL.
I was like, shit, I think we're already in it.
Here is your Kraken reaction for the Seattle Kraken, where we react to the Seattle Kraken and things that Seattle Kraken do with regards to Seattle Kraken hockey in the Kraken reaction.
Let's get Kraken on the Kraken.
Let's new intro. All right, NHL draft lottery is tonight.
Yes.
The Kraken have a chance at the number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
It is a 6% chance to get the overall pick, number one, and they probably will wind up like 8, 9, 10, something around that area, right?
Yes.
The team with the highest chance, the best odds of winning the lottery tonight, the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, Celebrini.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Sharks, the Blackhawks, the Ducks, Blue Jackets, Canadiens, the Utah, whatever. The Sens, then us. Now, could we get up a little bit higher? Yeah, possibly. I was actually looking at some guessing and some predictions. A lot of outlets are guessing that the Blackhawks will sneak ahead of San Jose. And I think, honestly, if you're looking at it, if we're talking
NHL rigged.
NHL rigged, NHL conspiracy theory, original six team. Mm-hmm. You already got Connor Bedard there. You want to build something there for the long term. It's a good thing when big market teams are good.
Yes.
And I would
like
not
the Rangers crushing the playoffs. This is good for hockey.
Right. I would not be shocked if that's the case where the Blackhawks get the number one pick. But it'd be nice to see if the Kraken, you know, kind of move up. And like you said, number one overall, I mean, it's got to be Macklin Celebrini, a center. Now, here's the deal is, without knowing who, you know, we might get, where, what would you pick? And we're not going to talk about goalies because we know goalies are A+ for the Seattle Kraken. We're good.
Yeah.
Defenseman or a forward? Who are you going for?
Easy. I'm going forward. And here's the thing. Cause I honestly feel like, I don't want to say we've been like defensive heavy, but it does seem like the Kraken, in my opinion, the way that we have drafted is like best available, right? And I honestly think that that's the proper way to go about doing it. I still think that I would be a let's draft the best available forward if I am in Ron's spot, the Ron father, which I am not, because he gets paid a lot of money and we get paid zero. So yeah, that's what I would be doing. But here's my thing, man, and I'm not trying to put down this part that we're talking about or anything like that. For me, like, will I be paying attention to the draft and all that? Absolutely. But for me, my focus is not there anymore with the Seattle Kraken. I'm very happy with the pipeline. I'm happy with the AHL. I'm happy with the development of our young guys. I'm happy with their productivity. Like, my focus right now is on free agency and acquisitions in the offseason because this team needs to make some moves. So while I am excited for the draft and it is something I'm going to pay attention to, I don't have the same feeling going into it that I had the past couple seasons.
I love that. And that's going back to what we were talking about with the, you know, excitement about the changes made, not Dave Haxtell being fired, more of like changes, aggressive changes. Mm-hmm. I too am excited about the free agency and what could be happening during the draft and in the offseason here. But I will say this is, you know, if we fall into that 8, 9, 10 area.
Yeah.
And this is just me being old school and, you know, I'm not the number one source for information about NHL draft prospects, but
yeah, that's ESPN.
No, I'm looking at ESPN's rankings right now. And if we say we're at number 9, I do like this pick is TJ Iginla. This is old school hockey. I don't know if you know who this guy is. Do you know who Jerome Iginla is?
I do not. So please lay this on me. And by the way, people listening are going to appreciate this as well.
Jerome Iginla played, you know, through like I think his career started in the late 90s. He played through like the, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s. He is one of the best players, probably top 100, I would guess, in the NHL ever. Scored a lot of points, but also too was a badass leader. He was a great leader, big dude, great. If you looked him up, like longtime Calgary Flame, and he went to a couple other spots too. But
okay,
he's great. I always loved that guy, and I'm just going off of vibes. Yeah. Is TJ Iginla, his son, big dude. He's in the WHL. That would be cool. I think that would be neat. I think there's a little bit. I like the vibes around him, the aura around him. Is he his dad? No, but that'd be kind of cool. I like that. There's a story behind it. I think people will be looking at that if he gets to the show. Anyway, so I kind of like that the Kraken are right there. So I'm going to predict, you know, we got a little while before the actual draft, but I'm going to predict that the Kraken go for him. He's a center, which I agree with you, is I think our defense prospects and our current defense, as long as Vince Dunn is healthy, obviously right up there, pretty good team defensively. So let's go offense, and I'm all about getting TJ Iginla.
I love it, and as a new hockey fan, it never ceases to amaze me the family ties that go into the sport. I swear that this is the sport where you have like lineage of hockey players that continuously come in the league. I love it. I hope he gets drafted for the plot for the Seattle Kraken. It's just crazy. This is my first time really, really paying attention to the league, and it blows my mind how there's so many ties to, you know, the new guys and how they have people that used to play and whatnot. So it's kind of fascinating because it really does seem like this is a sport where if you're kind of put in the right position from a young age, and obviously sprinkle in, you know, some genetics, but, you know, for the most part, you can kind of continue a lineage of playing. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. He played for the Flames for like almost 20 years, something like that.
No big deal. Okay. Yeah,
no big deal. But then he played for the Avs for a while, the Penguins. I'm looking up I'm forgetting the teams that he played for, but dude had, you know, in roughly 1500 games, he had 1300 points.
Jesus.
Yeah. He was a force.
He had a career.
Oh yeah. He was a force. Really good player and an awesome leader. I think highly respected across the league. He helped the Canadians win some, you know, gold medals. So the dude was like a world, like all-star player. So awesome, okay. Dude.
I'm into it.
I totally want that guy. So we'll see what happens. Draft lottery going on tonight. Other Kraken pipeline news is, I don't know if you saw this, but on Sunday, the Coachella Valley Firebirds won in overtime to tie up their series with the Calgary Wranglers.
I did see that.
Devin Shore scored in overtime, which was awesome to see. They play again on Wednesday night in Coachella Valley, tied up 1-1. So, you know, I got to fire up that AHL app. I don't know exactly how to watch those games. I'm sure there's something somewhere, but, you know, I got to get some Kraken hockey vibes going on. So I think maybe tomorrow night I'm going to watch that.
Nice. Happen.
So I'm going to try to watch some Coachella Valley Firebirds.
Maybe I'm get
some
it.
Swag.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. That series with Calgary, I mean, that was the that was the series that you and I, talking to Karts and talking to Garth, they both were talking about how some of, if not their favorite hockey memories from last season, mm-hmm. were playing against Calgary. And now that series is going down now. So I'm definitely going to tune in and figure out how to go about doing that. And never in my life did I think I'd be trying to figure out how to tune to fucking AHL hockey on a Wednesday.
Let's go.
Has turntables have turned, Jeff.
Yes, they have. All right. So around, it's true. Around the NHL, you've been watching any of the playoffs?
I have, but not to the level that you have been. But I'll tell you what, and this makes me happy, because you and I had our predictions, and you and I, and also Nikki O. Nick, I don't know if you listened to that part of the podcast, but we started talking about NHL playoffs, and he was really liking the Stars, and for the same reason that you and I did. And it was for just the goaltending and the overall depth of that team. And you and I were really on the Stars over Las Vegas in the first round. The difference between you and I is I had Boston over Toronto. You had Toronto like really going all the way.
I did.
And I had both Boston and both Dallas. So I'm feeling pretty justified in my picks at the moment.
You know, I had Dallas versus Toronto, and had mm-hmm. Toronto not, you know, imploded as usual with the mm-hmm. drama and mm-hmm. all the insanity, and also to Joseph Woll getting injured, that really hurt them.
Yes.
You know, but they again, just total heartbreak for Toronto. And like, I actually did, you know, I don't like Boston, but I've got some notes on that. I really
do
did
it,
want
do it for geeky, Jeff, do it for geeky.
I've got notes on that. Just hold on. Okay. We'll talk about last night's game, the first game of the the second game of the second round. Yes. But anyway, I got to say this is all right. So we'll start in the Western Conference. Dallas beats the Golden Knights. Just love to see the Golden Knights just lose, and we can finally stop talking about the Golden Knights for a little while and being scared yes. of the Golden Knights. And you know, I will never not use our Twitter account to troll Golden Knights fans, because yes. in my opinion, any other fan base across there's good, right? But I'm convinced that like 20% of the Golden Knights fan base are good. The rest just complete dirtbags, especially on Twitter. Absolute dirtbags.
I agree.
Who I think uneducated and cannot see anything other than Vegas Golden Knight hockey. So that means they don't like pay attention to anything else. And I'm just happy they're gone. The long-term IR, the Mark Stone stuff, all that, like just sit down. And they did. And that series was probably the best series of the first round. I will say Golden Knights.
I agree with that 1,000,000%.
Awesome, awesome, awesome job. And I'm just talking about the hockey players, not the fans. I kind of respect the players, right? But for that to go to overtime, you know, game seven, not overtime, but game seven, you know, down to the wire, loved it. So Dallas, though, Colorado for the second round, easily. Like
I have Colorado and the Rangers in the final, and so far both my picks are looking pretty fucking solid right now.
Dude, I tell you, so but this Dallas Colorado series is going to be crazy, because Colorado beat the crap out of Winnipeg.
They destroyed them.
Like Colorado, and again, I don't like the Avalanche. You do. You actually, it's your favorite team. You do not like the Seattle Kraken that much. You like the Avalanche.
I do. It's my favorite team.
They look really scary. Don't like yes. that. But got to respect them. Dallas, Colorado is going to be a slugfest. Now, Vancouver beats Nashville. I actually am putting my money, not money, but my heart on Vancouver. I've talked to them before. I know. But they've always been a team that I'd followed, you know, mm-hmm. along with the Red Wings. I grew up in that era of like Pavel Bure and Trevor Linden, and I have multiple Vancouver Canucks jerseys. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see them do something. Their fans make it tough. Their fans are also toxic. And
yeah, what is up with Vancouver fans? I got a taste of that last night, and I was like, whoa, has this always been a thing? Because they're fucking insufferable for the most part.
Yeah, you know, look, they kind of are. You know, like this, we're talking about the team that rioted when they lost to the Bruins.
Yes. You
know, not the team. Players did not riot. Fans did, all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's a little much, but I would like to see Vancouver do well, because this franchise has been cursed. You know, like they haven't done anything really ever. you know, they've been to a couple cup finals, but that's it. They couldn't close it out. So I would love to see, you know, the non-Canadian cup wins drought be ended by the Canucks, but we'll see. Edmonton over the Kings.
I'm against that. Hold on, I gotta say something really quick. There, the reason why I'm completely against that, and I understand and I obviously respect your stance on the Canucks. The reason why I'm full blown fook the Canucks is because not only of the rivalry that I want to start developing with the Seattle Kraken, also the hit on Matty Beniers last year. You know, hashtag never forget.
Yep.
But there was a tweet that went viral last night from a Canucks fan where there's a pizza place that's located in Vancouver.
Boston Pizza, ironically.
You're smiling because I know you know what I'm talking about. And the pizza place, apparently, I think like they're from Edmonton, but they had like a sign up being like, yeah, let's go Oilers or something like that. And this fucking raging douchebag of a Canucks fan takes a photo and then goes online asking people to boycott these people's way of living because they root for a different hockey team. And a lot of Vancouver fans jumped on board and they shamed this place so bad they changed their signage to rooting for the Canucks. And this guy is such a fucking douche and I hate it. And listen, I know every fan base has like their bad apples, but for this guy to go viral. And then if you look at the replies, every person being like, dude, are you serious? It's just him doubling down and talking shit on that person that then replies to him. So that to me, just further solidified me hating the Canucks. And so now when I saw it last night, I was like, you know what? I am full on board of them getting smashed in the playoffs. Because fuck this team. And the first thing I'm going to do when it happens, because it will happen, is go online to this guy, Braden, and just rub this shit all in his face. So I literally bookmarked it so I can go back to this asshole.
Love it. I do love that because you are correct.
It's like, such a douche move, man.
Yeah. Boston Pizza is kind of like in parts of Canada, if not all of Canada, Boston Pizza is like Domino's Pizza. You know, Little Caesars, that sort of stuff, or Papa John's. So they're huge, but yeah, I'm sure they're franchise and these people, it was in British Columbia, you know, so like they're, you know, like I think they had to kind like, I'm sure they expected some hate, but like this dude making it a viral thing.
The way some people earn a living because they root for a different sports team, grow the fuck up. Legitimately grow up.
I don't like, had they said something like horribly racist or whatever, sure. But like, you know, I don't like that because the Vancouver fans can be intense. You know, any fan, look, there's people that are just amplifying the bad apples. I don't like that for the team, but look.
And every fan base has them. I'm well aware. And I'm well aware that the internet will highlight those, you know, more often than it will highlight, you know, a Vancouver fan, you know, who like gave a homeless person their jersey because they were cold. Right. Or like something like that. But still, it was just the timing of it for me and seeing that. And of course it pops and I'm like, yep, I was already on team anti Canucks, but now I'm really rooting against their success.
So they have to play Edmonton. Edmonton destroy the Kings. I thought that was going to be a tighter series. I thought the Kings would somehow, because the Kings always, in my opinion, kind of turn into grinders in the playoffs, but they did not.
Yeah.
They got throttled by the Oilers, but I'm kind of waiting for that second round implosion. And a lot of predictions saying Edmonton's going to roll Vancouver. Totally could happen, but we'll see.
I hate that I'm rooting for Edmonton, Jeff. I don't want to do this. You think I want to root for McJesus? I don't want to do this, but I have to. And that's how I feel right now about Vancouver. I have to root for fucking Edmonton.
I feel you on that. Honestly, dude, I think
doesn't feel good.
And what I love, one thing that I love is like, you know, we have this Eastern Conference bias from all media because, you know, most media is on the, you know, Eastern Conference and the biggest teams, you know, are Eastern Conference teams. Nobody respects the Western Conference and who's won the Stanley Cup almost like year after year for the most part, Western Conference, and not the most part, but like often lately.
Yeah.
I think your Stanley Cup winner comes out of Dallas or Colorado. That series. That's your Stanley Cup winner.
I agree. I'm already counting down the Colorado Edmonton series, and that's right, I'm calling it.
Okay, I believe that. On the other side, Rangers looked that's gonna be a good series. Carolina's, you know, they lost 4-3 to the Rangers on Sunday in the first game of the second round. Of course, the Rangers destroyed the Caps. We knew the Capitals would suck. That should have been the Detroit Red Wings, who would have lost 4-0. But
no, they would have won 2, in my opinion. Yeah. I think they would have lost the series in 6.
They had some magic. They had the Caps did too. So you know, the Hurricanes destroyed the Islanders. I think I had the Rangers going far, but I could see that series going 7.
I think Rangers are the dominant team.
Boston, we already talked about it, beating Toronto. And I don't know.
And then murdering Florida.
I think Florida comes back, and I think that series goes 7.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Florida's a very good team, but holy crap, last night was an absolute throttling.
Well, let's talk about that for 1 second. And I'm like, I don't like Boston. I hate Boston, but like last night I was like, wait, do I like Boston right now? I don't know. They've got the vibes, and the vibes are that Brandon Carlo, who plays defense for the Bruins, he scored a sweet goal last night. Sweet goal. He sniped like just inside the crossbar, and huge moment because like hours earlier, he had his first kid. He had a baby.
Yes.
You know, and not him. His wife had a baby.
Yeah, he's got that energy going hard.
Assisted. And the Bruins put out videos of him like walking in the locker room, like just everybody's high fiving him. And he put out there was a quote where he was like, basically like, yes, we were trying to like make sure this baby showed up in the morning. You know, my wife was, you know, like upside down doing this, trying to get that baby out. And it happened. Mm-hmm. And he took that dad energy hours later into the game. He scored a sweet goal.
Yeah, dad energy, dude. If I would have known that, I would have had money on him scoring a goal last night.
I know. And that stuff is legit. That stuff is legit. Babies. Watch for babies being born in sports. That does give you dad energy, and that happens. So,
yes.
And then also the other thing that was kind of cool is Mason Lorie scored last night for the Bruins too, mm-hmm. and he is the first ever player from Louisiana, where we live, to play in the NHL. He's born first ever Louisiana-born player to score. In the playoffs, I guess, or I don't know. I guess that Louisiana is now on the map for scoring playoff goals, but he's the first player born in Louisiana to make it to the NHL. So that's pretty cool. Young dude.
And then Morgan Geekie also scores. They have the Boston right now has all, like, if you had like a list, they just hit all the boxes, right? They checked off all the boxes for their vibes trending in the right direction against a very good Florida team. And they might be able to ride those vibes into the next round.
And Pasternak, you know, like he's kind of he's a poster boy for the league. Like he's a happy, fun guy who does a lot to be like the face of the league. He's really friggin' good.
Dude, the game-winning goal against Toronto in game 7, the feed, and I forgot his teammate that fed it to him, but dude, the dump pass off the boards back to him in front of the net, I don't think I've ever seen the Seattle Kraken have a pass like that in a game. Like it was so perfect.
They have done that. They did that a bunch of times in the regular season. They know that's a home ice advantage. They know where the boards are. Like growing up in Detroit, watching the Red Wings at Joe Louis Arena, which was an old ass arena, mm-hmm. but it was known to have boards that were like springboards. They would often fire pucks from the point, to the side of the net because they knew that thing would bounce and ricochet right in front of the net. And that's what they would do. Like Nicklas Lidström, lots of times would do like almost like a slap shot pass off the boards. He'd bank it down low into somebody, one of the grinders. And like, that was one of their moves. So same thing. They saw it opening up. They caught the Leafs sleeping mm-hmm. on that play. And yeah, I mean, so Pasta, now, the thing here is, like, Brad Marchand, you know, I don't know. But, like, all of a sudden, I'm going, like, if I just take the jersey away, do I like that team? I'm kind of on the fence right now. I mean, obviously, I want Geek Squad to get a cup. That'd be awesome.
I think you would. I'm just saying.
So, that was pretty sweet.
Because they're on the East Coast. Anyway.
But I think Florida is coming back easily in that one. Too many vibes last night. I mean, they destroyed Tampa. Tampa's run is kind of coming to an end there. Not coming to an end because they're going to reload. They're going to reload. Mm-hmm. Stamkos, there is loose talk, you know, like, is he going to re-sign? Is he going to sign a cap-friendly deal with Tampa in the offseason because he's a free agent?
I believe so.
I've seen some people say Seattle.
I'd be shocked.
I don't know. He's got some goal scoring left. We need offense. We need a leader.
Okay.
He's your captain. He shows up. Dark horse free agency signing.
Okay.
All right. So what are you sticking with? What's your second round?
I'm still riding with my picks. I'm taking Colorado. I'm taking Edmonton. I'm taking the Rangers and I'm taking the Bruins.
Yep. I'm gonna say Dallas, Boston.
Oh.
Dallas wins.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm still riding with my OG picks of Rangers and Avs.
Yeah. And if it happens, I really can't take too much credit because that's a second round reset right there. So
yeah, I was gonna say that was not your original pick. You definitely had Toronto in the finals.
I did, but I did pick the Stars. I'm still alive.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm for them to be down 0-2 and then to go into Las Vegas and take two to tie the series was, I mean, that right there, I was like, oh, this team knows exactly what it takes to win. And this is a very, very, very dangerous team. Like Colorado is going to have to be on their A-plus game because the Stars can definitely beat them.
Yeah. No, I have been making some bets. I am slowly but surely wasting away all of my funds from last season's Matty Beniers pick. But
still, wow.
I'm still hoping Rick Tocchet wins that Jack Adams Coach of the Year award because I will refund my entire next season DraftKings Sportsbook app betting pool money because I'll cash in on that. But I have been making picks. I did. If the Leafs had won on, what was it, Sunday, Saturday night, if the Leafs had won, I would have won like $150, $160. So I did pick Nylander to score.
Okay.
And I picked the under on goals. Had they won, I would have won a bunch of cash. But I did not. And that for me is the fun of watching hockey, watching the chase for the Stanley Cup with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You can totally get in on this. What you want to do is go check on, the same game parlays. You can bet a dollar. You can bet a little bit and have some fun with this. It is awesome and great incentive for you to sign up right now. DraftKings Sportsbook app, download it. Use the code THPN. It's the Hockey Podcast Network. It's code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Look, if you got a gambling problem, check out all of the details in our show notes, okay? Uh-huh. So be careful with that stuff, but at the same time, have fun. Enjoy it. Now, Raycon, wireless earbuds, all right? You want to use Raycon audio, whether it's like a Bluetooth speaker, whatever it might be, you totally need to go check them out because number one, awesome quality products, right? The audio sounds great. The battery life is crazy. They have all these money back guarantees, tons of great reviews, and wireless earbuds, they're comfortable. You can run. They're not going to slip out of your ears like some of those fruit brands might do that sort of thing. They're just made
bananas for
great audio, right? And great for just wearing and doing your thing. So take a chance on them because they're half the price and of the other brands out there, right? They're half the price and like twice the quality. And we've got a sweet deal for you too. Get 15% off when you go to buyraycon.com/THPN. So buyraycon.com/THPN. Get 15% off your order. Buyraycon.com/THPN. Go do that. Get 50% off. Get geared up for summertime, hitting the lake, right? Going to the beach. Got to get those audio tunes. So get all those speakers going. Waterproof, all that stuff, Go do it. Buyraycon.com/THPN. Buyraycon.com/THPN. I was thinking about the beach.
You're good. Yeah, me too. I think I blocked out there for a second.
Awesome. All right, cool. NoDem questions. What is this week's NoDem question? It's a good one.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
This week's NoDem question comes from Steffi Peterson via Instagram. By the way, Steffi reached out and she was like, hey, thanks guys. I'm glad that you'll be here, in the off season. And I was like, well, joke's on you. We're insane people and we still try to keep it running as much as possible. Question is, what is the difference between a player becoming a free agent versus a player being placed on waivers? And now while I felt very And well, pretty confident in understanding this. It never hurts for me to get on my Statman game.
Statman?
Thank you. And to basically to look into this and learn a little bit more. So two different types of free agents, UFA and RFA, unrestricted and restricted. Unrestricted free agents are just players who have completed the terms of their contract, and restricted free agents are players whose contracts have expired, but they have less than four accrued seasons in the league, and therefore their rights belong to an NHL team that grants the team that they currently belong to certain levels of protection. So those protections all revolve around retaining or changing employment. So if you see like an unrestricted free agent, person's been in the league for a while, their contract is over, they technically don't have a job. They're looking around. Who wants me? Restricted free agent, contract is expiring, newer in the league, but the team that they're has expired with, they have some protections there where like they kind of, you know, like they get first dibs on if they want to bring them back or not, or if they want to let them out into the wild to find somewhere new. So protections versus non-protections, and that's the difference between free agents. Now, waivers, this is interesting. Waivers were introduced to the world of hockey in the 1950s, and it's essentially just a way for an organization to move a player from the pro levels to the minors. That's literally all it is. So if the player, so you hear this a lot where there's one-way contracts and two-way contracts. A one-way contract is just an NHL contract. That's just a professional contract. It is what it is. A two-way contract is a contract where they have the minor league ties and they have the NHL ties. So you have like your AHL, you know, Firebirds contract and a Seattle Kraken contract where the player can go back and forth. If the player is on a one-way contract and that team, again, just professional, and the team wants to send that player to the minors, they then have to send that player through waivers first. That is the deal. And at this point, the other 31 teams in the league look at those transactions and they see who is on waivers and they decide if that player is a player they want to pick up for their roster or not. So that player has to clear waivers, AKA the rest of the league has to pass on them in order for them to go down to the minor leagues. If you ever played any fantasy sport, think about like, I'll just put like fantasy football terms. You have a guy on your roster and you're like, I'm going to swap him out, you know, for this wide receiver who's getting hot, and I think he's going to be good. So you drop a shitty wide receiver, and that person gets placed on waivers where that person is now available to the rest of the league, and they get dibs on it before you do because you just dumped that player. And if that player clears, then that player is made available to you again. So there you go. That's waivers.
Damn, dude. That was like textbook. You just gave us this is your TED talk on free agency and waivers and all the things. Good job.
I just didn't know it was introduced in the 1950s. And the one-way contract and two-way contract to me is interesting. It's a very hockey specific thing. You don't hear about a guy in the NFL having a two-way contract with the University of Texas. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Yes, it doesn't exist.
All right, so thank you for that. Awesome question. Keep those things coming because we're going to stockpile some too. We're going to continue this. We're going to get this pod and keep it going. We're going to keep it going, especially through, you know, there's a lot of shit going on in the summertime. So, you know, as far as like hockey stuff still. So, you know, we're going to keep it going. Three stars of the week. This is where Joey and I talk about things in our personal lives. We rank it, right? So, Joey, what's your third star of the week?
I like it. We're going to this fast. You know where my head's at right now. Zurich Classic. My third star of the week is the Zurich
nice.
Classic. So I attended in large part because of you. And by the way, I don't know if you even saw this, you big jerk, but on Thursday I went there and I got some good food stuff and I tagged you in your social media. I mean, it's gone now because it was on my stories, but I was getting some really good food stuff out there and sharing it on Thursday. But I had a buddy in town. We went to the Zurich.
Dang.
And I also texted you a video. Not a big golf guy, but I was legitimately maybe 7 feet away from Rory McIlroy as he was teeing off on 9, to which my buddy said, if you think this is cool, watch him hit a driver. And I was like, God, you're such a nerd. But it was awesome.
He smashed it and you went, whoa, I feel the energy. This is
cool. He did fucking, you know, and it was beautiful. And then I went home that weekend, and I also came back out Saturday, but that was strictly to provide some social media support to you. But
thank you.
I that weekend I started watching Full Swing, and God, that show was good. It is so good.
Yep.
Also, my quick takeaways from Full Swing: are Brooks Koepka's the fucking man. I love him.
Ooh, he's a live guy.
I know he's a live guy. I'm okay with that too. Because
Do you know all that stuff?
I'm finding out about it. I'm learning more about it. I already knew about it, but I'm learning more. And I can say this. If I'm in the golf world and the live comes around, like, hey, Joey, we got $100 million with your name on it. You want to join the tour? I'm saying absolutely, because I'm that guy. So
well,
I'm taking it. You would probably pull a Rory and you're like, no, I'm PGA till the day I died. I'm like, cool, I'll be over here.
I'm going to go watch. I mean, I would go watch it. They're actually coming into New Orleans.
With the live tours coming here?
Okay, so
I need to go to that.
If you don't know, if there was another pro hockey league, mm-hmm. all of a sudden said, hey, we're forming, we are going to offer the best players in the NHL like triple or quadruple the amount of money that they're making right now to leave the NHL and come over to our league, and like, you know, maybe five of the top 10 players in the NHL say yes and go do it. And then they get a bunch of other guys in there too, and they start a new league. That's what happened with golf.
Yes.
The PGA for a very long time, forever, has been like, that's the golf league, right?
Yes.
Well, LIV showed up like 2 or 3 years ago and did this. It's also controversial because it's Saudi backed, and there's a lot of people that don't want to go there because of just what they believe. They think that, you know, the Saudis, that Saudi money is, you know, allegedly dirty. So anyway, there's a lot of controversy there. So
yes,
there's craziness because they're rivals. And Rory McIlroy, have you seen his episode on Full Swing second season yet?
No, I have not. I'm not that far at all. I think I'm like 3 or 4 into season one.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, what's cool is like Rory got offered crazy money to go.
Yeah.
Like crazy money. Like $750 million, something like that.
Yeah, he's worth like $200 million as it stands.
Right, and he said, "No, I'm going to be the PGA's guy." And it's still worth the watch. But basically, yeah. It's not a spoiler alert. But he basically goes through a whole deal of saying, like, "I'm going to be the PGA face."
Yes,
and I'm going to stick with you guys. And his golf game suffered last season because of that, because he was doing all these press conferences talking about. So he's like upset about that. Anyway, fast forward to him winning the Zurich Classic, huge for New Orleans, because he has to come back. You know, inside information, because, you know, I was working with a tournament, and thank you, Joey. I'm paying you right now. Good reminder for coming out there doing
not awesome why I did it, but thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. There it was. I know you. You're money driven.
By the way, next year, I legitimately want to help out more. I met the whole team. I fell in love with them. They fell in love with me. We took photos. Yep. We're talking shit to you. We're like, oh, we're going to send a photo and pretend like my name is Jeff, because everyone thought I was you. So yeah, anyways, I'm in.
Great for making me feel guilty for trying to spend time with my family after working hard all week. No, it was awesome. It was awesome. But anyway, long story short is Rory's coming back. Zurich Classic is like one of the party tournaments in the PGA. It's great. It's going to be better than ever next year. Record year this year. You were part of that. Thank you for covering that. Live Tour is supposed to come here to New Orleans right around when New Orleans is hosting the Super Bowl.
Oh, dude, I am so in. I legitimately will be at the Live in 2 seconds.
In the spring. Yeah, I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go check it out. Although maybe I can't. I'm a Zurich guy. I got to be careful with that. So that's PGA. Well.
I'm a freaking free agent, you know, and I'm not restricted. I'm unrestricted.
Well,
and if my betting is open, if they want to throw some money at me to attend, I'm there.
Well, I'm glad that you went. Thank you for your help. Joey's an amazing social media content creator and social media dude. And it was like, of course, Joey's going to come and help me out. Then thank you for that. So,
dude, yeah, of course, the team was easy. The team made everything easy. They're awesome people.
Well, thank you. That's good. My third star, I'm going to say golf gear. Like, I'm getting into it. I'm getting into playing. Now I got to get you to play with me because you don't golf, but like, I am not that far ahead of you. So like, you may have to get in with me. I recently got new golf shoes. I got a new golf bag.
Ooh,
you know, my son's getting into it. The girls are going to get into it. We got a summer of some golf clinics for the kids.
Oh, okay.
So getting into the golf, man, playing it is
don't
fun.
Don't do this to me, Jeff, because I will on the down low hire a trainer and just start working with a golf pro to get my shit together, meanwhile lying about it, And then you'll be like, hey, you want to go hit some balls today? And I'm just crushing off the tee. And you're like, dude, what the hell? I'm like, I don't know. It must be luck.
Yep. That would be you. I mean, like, you know, yeah, I know. You look like a guy who can crush a golf ball. So
we'll see. I have a lot of limbs going on. It's more for me to control, which makes it very difficult. You're like in the Rory position where it's like you have less to worry about, so you can really focus. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I'm gonna get you to the range. Gonna get you to the range.
I know.
So golf gear, I'm into it. I'm loving it. What's your second star?
Second star of the week, and this is a little heavy pivot here, but I have to share, is the movie Zone of Interest. Have you heard about this?
No.
This movie?
Nope.
Oh my God. So, and again, this is a hard pivot, and I apologize. It's a heavy movie, but it came out last year. To my understanding, won a ton of awards, and I caught it on Max. I was like, oh, Max has it. I think I had like a Saturday night to myself. Like, let me put this movie on. Well, let me tell you something. Not only is it a movie you have to pay a lot of attention to because it is, you know, 2+ hours long, but it's also the entire thing is in German. So you're going to have to read subtitles unless you're fluent in German, which congratulations to you if so. The story is incredible. It is a World War II movie, and it is a story about the Auschwitz commandant Rudolf Hess and his wife Hedwig and their family. And it's, again, very heavy stuff. The reason why it is highly, highly, highly recommended is if you love history and you love, you know, stories about that time, despite, you know, it's very difficult to stomach. The way it's shot is it's interesting. I'm not going to give anything away, but, Rudolf Hess was a real person. And what's interesting about this film is it's focused on him and his family's life. And while he is running the German death camp, Auschwitz, and it's crazy because in the movie, their home is literally their back fence is sharing a wall with Auschwitz. And so you don't actually ever see any physical violence throughout the movie. It's them going about their lives while hearing it in the background. And it is... it's jaw dropping. It's one of the best, if not the best I've seen in regards to World War II. So if that kind of stuff interests you, I definitely recommend checking it out. The actors were incredible. And I think it won a bunch of awards, but it's a movie where you have to pay a lot of attention, but Zone of Interest was a fantastic watch. It's also the ending gives you a lot to think on. So yeah, great movie.
This is not my second star, but just to like show Joey's deep, awesome pick of like historic things that we need to know about. Like that's something that's important for people to never forget. And
yes,
I just want to say that I recently on Netflix restarted watching Bridgerton.
Nice.
Which is the complete opposite. It is trash.
Yeah,
the
opposite. Yeah.
Like smut, basically. So anyway, just to kind of show you where we're at. My second star, pretty simple. Just gonna say this, put this out there. Mother's Day is Sunday, so like that's for like you know your mama, but also too you know the moms in your life.
Yeah,
make sure you plan for that accordingly. Okay, make sure you plan for that accordingly.
Dear
my wife is just crushing it as usual, being an awesome mom, an amazing wife, and like I'm on top of it this year. There's no last minute gifts. There's no last minute scramble. There's plans in place.
Good.
I'm on top of it because my wife has just been amazing. So there's a lot of good things going on in our life and
good.
98% of it is because of her. The other 2% is the fact that I'm part of this podcast. that says a lot about how important she is to me and to our family. Yes. So anyway, Mother's Day, Sunday, be on it. Don't mess that up. All right. What's your first star?
First star of the week, and again, I'm going quick here, is just the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef. I can't, you know, honestly, by this point, I kind of hope it's over because there's been so much going on with it. But I will say that if you don't know, I hope you educate yourself because this is not, it's not only I can send you a TikTok that literally summarizes it in like 2 minutes. Sure. Oh, it's so good.
It's like a 3 minute long.
Yeah, it's so good. And, It's it's not only a hip hop moment, and I really do believe that this is going to be like hip hop history, and we're kind of living in the middle of it, but it's a very, very, very big cultural moment. I mean, it has like completely like penetrated like the zeitgeist of everything that's going on right now. It's very interesting, and you can kind of see it just wrapping itself around everything that's going on in pop culture currently, which I find fascinating. And yeah, it's just been very interesting to watch it go down. And I am forever Team Kendrick, because I've always been Team Kendrick, and I think he's phenomenal. Also, side note, saw him perform here in New Orleans a couple years ago at Voodoo Fest. Rest in peace to Voodoo. And it was the best hip hop show I've ever seen. Usually I go to I've been to hip hop shows, and I'm not the biggest fan. It just doesn't translate well live, in my opinion. His was the opposite. Mind-blowing, incredible, super talented, just an amazing artist all around. So the Kendrick and Drake beef is my first star of the week, Team Kendrick.
Real quick, is who is Drake done?
No, because...
I mean, he's not done.
Like, I mean,
Has he lost the battle right now?
In my opinion, absolutely. I think his last response, and I forgot the title of it, but his last response... It just seemed, I listened to it and it came across as tired. It came across as a guy who was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, you know, he was like, shit. I mean, I think Kendrick came out with two different tracks in the span of 24 to 48 hours that were both very intricate, shared a lot of information, was very pointed. Drake's last response kind of just seemed like, he did the whole, like, I'm too famous for this card, which was an interesting play. So, yeah, I think it's I hope it's done, because honestly, there's so much to it that as a person that, like, you know, like, you're always working. It's like you literally have to, like, not have a job and just be on your phone all day to kind of keep up with this stuff. And it's not worth it. Like, it's very tiring.
Right. That makes sense. If I'm Drake, I'm going radio silence for a while.
Yeah.
Just figure it out. Don't say anything else.
Drop like a bomb album or something and go on from there.
That's exactly right. All right. I'm gonna try to figure that one out. I got the you know, red string dots all over the place to figure out who's winning this beef. Yeah. You know me, rap guy. So
yeah. Oh yeah, big rap guy. You're doing the Charlie Day right now. You're mapping it all out like freaking True Detective. I love it.
Haven't slept.
Just big rap guy. I should have asked that first.
My first star of the week, Joey Cirillo, just crushing it last week on the pod with Nicky O. Man. Co-shared by Nicky O. I mean, he's got to share it with you.
No, that was all Nicky O, but thank you.
But awesome job. Good to know. I'm just going to kind of sit back, let you take the summer, Joey. So good luck.
Thanks.
No. We're here. We're here for it. I predict the Kraken. I think the Kraken get a higher draft lottery pick than we expect. I think they go with a Ginla. I'm calling that draft lottery pick. I'm going to say we get number six. I think we get six.
Okay.
We'll see what's up. So we got that to look forward to. NHL playoffs to look forward to. Joey, awesome job last week. Thank you for listening to us in this sort of like off season. You know, I think we have like four listeners right now in the off season. So thank all four of you. Thanks to all four of you.
Thank you for the four. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Have an awesome week, Joey. And we're going to leave you with, because we're deep in the playoffs, we've got some good ones. Your Kraken Pod Chirp of the Week.
7 seconds. Here's Hanifin. Far side shot. Puck winds up behind the net. Stolen. Centering pass. Broken up. And that will do it. The Dallas Stars win game 7 and will move on to face the Colorado.